to be saved, amen. And to be in God's house on a Friday night, a lot of places that are packed tonight, and there's none more important than the house of God. I thank the Lord for it, and I'm certainly honored to be here. Preacher, thank you for having me. The opportunity and privilege is mine, and I'm so glad that I have the opportunity to be here tonight. And I've got to be home tomorrow morning for something, but I'll be back tomorrow night, and I'm looking forward to that and for the privilege and opportunity. You know, when you're in the work of God, there's only one big name, and that's Jesus. Amen. And I'm just so thrilled to be here. We could go home now and have heard from the Lord. You understand that? And I certainly thank the Lord. I appreciate the message. I appreciate a young man that will be sincere and get a word from the Lord and preach it. We don't get caught up on the messenger. It's the message. But I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled that there are young men in America that are standing with boldness, with energy, and substance. Amen. You can have boldness and energy. Some people talk a whole lot and don't say nothing. And I've heard some preachers that should have finished before they ever got up because they weren't preaching the word. I'm glad we heard a message from the word. And I thank the Lord for it and thrilled. My heart was moved and stirred, convicted and challenged. And I appreciate that. I want my heart to be challenged. Amen. And I was riding over here. Thank you for the room and the opportunity to have accommodations. And I was riding over here tonight and thinking to the Lord about what to preach. And the Lord solidified in my heart exactly what to preach on. And I was coming in here and just prepared to preach a message entitled, Do You Have Issues? And that message came from Mark chapter 5 about a woman with an issue of blood and a man named Jairus. So the Lord said, I told you I wanted that message preached tonight, just not from you. So I want you to take your Bibles and go to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 12. I'm going to preach this message instead. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. I couldn't believe when he said Mark chapter 5. I thought, that knucklehead. And then he actually did it. He had the nerve to do it. No, thank God knows what he's doing. Amen. Stand to your feet, if you would, for the reading of God's word. We're in the Old Testament, the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 12. It's good to see some dear friends. My brother Steve Nisley, I've been down this way, the neck of the woods, many times at Mercy Missionary. So I knew a little bit about where I was when I got down here. I went across the street from the hotel and got me some Chinese food. Y'all eat Chinese food? All right. So that means you like cats, all right? That's why they put all that sauce all over it. So you can't see what you're eating. So somebody say meow, all right? So I got me some General Tso's chicken and some pork fried rice. And I wanted to make it sound like a healthy meal, so I got a bottle of water. And so I called back home and tell my wife that I had a bottle of water tonight with my dinner. But so I'm feeling pretty good right about now, and I'm looking forward to what God is going to do. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, verse number 38. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. And there they were with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Moreover, they that were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought bread on asses and on camels and on mules and on oxen, and meat, meal, cakes of figs, bunches of raisins, wine, oil, oxen, and sheep abundantly, for there was joy in Israel. Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's pray together. Our Father, our hearts have already been stirred. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. If you've done any reading or studying of the Bible, you're familiar with the fact that the nation of Israel is God's chosen people. Let me say that again. Maybe that doesn't qualify as teenage preaching, but it's Bible preaching. The nation of Israel is God's chosen people. God didn't choose them for their greatness. He didn't choose them for their luster. He didn't choose them for their significance. He chose them simply by his prerogative. And his prerogative had with it a purpose. When he chose the nation of Israel, he revealed himself to them so that they could know him and then make him known. By the way, that's God's will for us. When we get to know God, we want to let him be known to other people. Israel didn't get God just to keep him for themselves. Israel was a nation who had exclusively seen God's hand, God's power, God's personality. They were to reveal that to the nations of the world. Do you remember when that giant fell and David stood before Goliath? His contention was that if you fall down, I want you to be defeated, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And by the way, we're meeting here on a Friday night in Northeast Maryland in the 2017 year when the devil seems to be running crazy. We're meeting with young people that they'll leave this building tonight, go to their neighborhoods, their malls, their generation, their schools, that all the earth may know there is a God in heaven. Israel had a purpose, and so do you, to make God known. Can you imagine being ruled directly by God, and yet God wasn't enough? Isn't that when we get into trouble in our lives? When God's not enough. It started with Adam and Eve. What God gave them wasn't enough. And they started looking outside for things which they should have been content to have on the inside with God. Israel saw that all the other nations had a king, and they wanted the king like all the other nations did. So God gave them what they asked for. Be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. Gave them a king. So he didn't give them a shabby king. He gave them a king who stood head and shoulders above all the rest. And to rule the nation of Israel, God gave Saul another heart. And Saul stepped into this monumental task of leading the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. Started off pretty good, but eventually he disobeyed God. God rejected him, and God told him, I'm not only going to reject you, I'm going to replace you. And I'm going to replace you with a man after mine own heart. That man was none other than David, the little ruddy shepherd boy. Samuel didn't even think that he would be the next king. But God saw something about David that nobody else could see. God saw David's heart. David had a heart after God. So much to the case that when he played an instrument, the evil spirit over Saul went away. I want you to listen to the description of David that was given when he was recommended to Saul to be chosen to play that instrument. He's a prudent man. He's a valiant man. He's a cunning man. But here's the greatest recommendation. The Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. Don't get that young man just because he's talented. Don't get that young man in here just because he's got potential. Don't get that young man in here just because he's skilled. Don't get that young man just because he's good at his craft. You better get that young man in here if you got the devil on you, because the Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. So David is that man. But when Saul saw that he was being replaced by David, he began to see the favor on David, and he got jealous. He eyed David continually from that day forward. Envy grew. Animosity was brewing inside of him. And David, without doing anything wrong, became the enemy of Saul continually. Several times Saul tried to kill David, and David, as the next king over Israel, was literally running for his life. David had a chance on more than one occasion to kill Saul, but he lived by principle and not by passion. He said, I'll not touch God's anointed. And God honored him for that. Eventually, Saul died. And you would have thought that immediately David would have ascended right to the throne and all of Israel would have embraced him. But instead, his son Ishbosheth stepped up, and he began to assume himself as king. So now you had part of Israel to the south who said, David's our king. And another part of divided Israel to the north who said, Ishbosheth's my king. So you've got one nation that's supposed to have one king that's divided over two kings. There was unrest. There was confusion. There was disagreement. Until finally, Ishbosheth is murdered, and we begin to see a gradual ascent of David to the throne. By the time we arrive
at 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, the Bible tells us that people not just in Judah to the south, but also in Israel to the north, are all coming together in a place called Hebron, and they're coming together with assent, with agreement, with unison, and with coordination to say, we don't have two kings, we don't have different kings, we're not divided about a king, we've got one king, and his name is David. And when they came together on who their king was, the Bible says that all of a sudden an army started to be assembled together, that started marching in one accord, with one direction, with one goal, with one purpose, and with one mind. And by the way, the soldiers couldn't march together unless all the soldiers had the same king. And until every soldier was marching in beat with the same king, there was disagreement, there was disarray, there was division, and there was disgrace. But when they settled that they had one king that God had chosen, one king that God had anointed, one king that God had ordained, one king that God had decided, and they all agreed with the choice of God that David was king, all of a sudden there was an army that nobody could stop. Now I won't tell you why I'm preaching this message tonight. We're living in a different day. We're not in the day of David and Ishbosheth. We're not in the day of the nation of Israel as they were then. And I don't claim that America is God's chosen people. But I will say that if you're saved by the grace of God, you are the chosen one of God. Amen. You've been born again, not a corruptible seed, but by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You've been saved by grace, not by works, not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You've been introduced to the love of God. Amen. Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. You've been washed in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God's your Father. Jesus is your Savior. The Holy Ghost is your Comforter. Heaven is your home, and the word of God is your guide. You, my friend, have the opportunity to have the Holy Ghost of God living inside of you. You can be convicted. You can be filled. You, my friend, can be guided and directed by the Holy Spirit of God every single day. But I want to tell you something. What happens among young people and adults alike in 2017, right here in the United States of America, I want you to know that God only has one king that we should serve, and that king is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet I'm preaching to young people, and I'm preaching to adults who are living with a divided heart, with a divided mind, with divided affections, with divided aims, with divided aspirations, and you're trying to come to church and serve Jesus and then go back to the world and serve the devil. And by the way, the devil's got his toys: Hollywood, athletics, politics, social media, the movie stars, rap music, all kinds of nonsense. And it's got young people in a tug of war, if you would. On some day they're for Jesus, and another day they're for the devil. On some days they're for God, and other days they're for the flesh. On some days they're for the Bible, and other days they're for the television. And all of a sudden you find yourself going back and forth, not sure who the king is. Well, I'll tell you, when this army got together, when those fellas said, you know what, we're not going to have two sides to this story. We got one king. We're going to stand where God stands. We're going to serve where God is, and whoever God chooses, I'll tell you, that's our choice. I'm glad Hebrews says, God didn't say unto one angel that you're king, but unto the Son of God, Jesus said, thy throne, O king, is a scepter of righteousness. I'm glad that when it comes to God's choice today, it's not a Republican or a Democrat. It's not this person or that person. The choice for king doesn't sit in the White House, doesn't sit on a man-made throne, and doesn't serve as a head of state. The king that is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords sits on the throne of heaven, high and lifted up, shares his glory with none other, can't be impeached, he's not going to resign, didn't get voted in, won't get voted out, has always been, will always will be, has all power, has all knowledge, has all wisdom, has all majesty, has all magnanimity. I'll tell you what we need leaving this building tonight is for every person to say, I have no confusion, I'm not undecided, the jury is not still out, I've decided to follow Jesus. He's my king, he's my Lord, he's my master, he's my Savior, he's my all in all. Kids,
You cannot make it in the army if you don't know who your king is. And I feel for young people today, because the struggle is real. So pull. You know, we better be careful, preachers, that we don't downplay for these young people the struggle. I'm all for preaching. Go out there and live for God. But I'm also preaching that if you're going to live for God, you better have some guts.
Amen.
Amen. You'll live for God. You better have some wherewithal. You better have some fight in you. Amen. I tell you what God needs today. God doesn't need a bunch of people that are going to sit around, hold hands, sing kumbaya. I tell you what God doesn't need. God doesn't need a bunch of cheerleaders that are going to throw pom-poms. Amen. God doesn't need a bunch of movie stars that are going to get up and put on an act. Amen. We don't need another celebrity. We don't need another LeBron. We don't need another Britney Spears. We don't need another Lady Gaga Goo Goo. We don't need another Destiny's Child or none of that nonsense Beyonce. Let me tell you something. We don't need any of that. We don't need bling. And we don't need that. We need an army. You understand me? We need some folks that I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, or shoot the artillery. I may never zoom on the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. We need some young men that'll be soldiers, some young ladies that'll be soldiers. And the only way to march in the army is to know who your king is. When you get tired, look at the king. When you get weary, look at the king. When you get attacked, look at the king. When you get confused, look at the king. When you're not sure, look at the king. I feel a preaching storm coming up. We're struggling amongst our young people right here in America because they don't know who their king is. And Israel struggled too till they got the main thing settled. We got one king. Listen to me, young people and adults tonight. We got one king. I said we got one king. I don't care what the world says. We got one king. I don't care what Hollywood said. We got one king. I don't care what the internet said. We got one king. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this celestial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's right sheep, ransomed from the fall, hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throne we at his feet shall fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Listen to me, there's coming a day every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. But in the meantime, if you're going to serve Jesus now, don't just crown him then. Crown him now. I want to talk about this army. What kind of army did God assemble when they got settled on who their king was? Chapter 12. They came together to make David king. And God assembled, number one, a skilled army. When you get settled on who Jesus is, you get some skills. Somebody say amen. You talking about competitive. Amen. I'm all for competition. I've gone to preach places, and the preacher said, now we're going to get out here and have fellowship. Dog poop. Amen. We're going to get out on the court and hazard our bodies. We don't call that fellowship. Amen. We call that war. Amen. Fellowship at Starbucks. Amen. This was a skilled army. I'm going to tell you why we're losing against the devil. We don't have any skill. I'm talking about spiritual skills. Now look at verse number 2. They were armed with bows. They used both the right hand and the left and hurling stones and shooting arrows of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. Now these were skilled soldiers. What do you mean skilled? Number one, they were prepared for army. And number two, they were proficient in army. By being prepared, they were cleansed. By being prepared, they were clothed. By being proficient, they could shoot. By being proficient, they could sling. You understand that when these soldiers marched into war, they understood we cannot walk out into a battle with no armor on. We must walk out in the battle with the proper clothing on. They understood not only that they had to be prepared, but they had to be proficient. It wasn't just that they needed to have weapons in their hands. They needed to have weapons in their hands that they knew how to use. Somebody help me preach. Now, I'm telling you, we got kids with weapons in their hands. They don't know how to use it. You know what I like about these? The Bible said they were so skilled. The Bible says that they could hurl and shoot with both hands. You understand that? It said armed with bows. They could use both the right hand and the left in hurling and shooting. Let me tell you now. They could hurl with the right and hurl with the left. They could swing with the right and swing with the left. Right, left, boom, shakalaka. Amen. You understand that when these fellas got out into war and they carried weapons, they weren't those that carried weapons that didn't know how to use them. Now, I want to tell you something. When God called you into his family and sent you out into the war, he did not send you out without a weapon, young person. We have a weapon. Our weapon is the sword of the word of God. The problem is we got young people that sit in church carrying Bibles, but they don't have their Bibles carrying them. Listen to me. If you want to win the battle against sex and drugs and immorality and nonsense, you better know how to use your weapon. I'm saying read the word of God. Study the word of God. Memorize the word of God. Meditate on the word of God. Obey the word of God. Shame on you if you're a Baptist and don't know why you are. Shame on you if you believe in eternal security and don't know why you do. Shame on you if you read the King James Bible and don't know why you do. Shame on you if you're baptized and know it didn't save you and don't know why you do. Get in the book and know how to use your weapon. This was a skilled army. Number two, this was a separated army. Listen to what the Bible said. They separated themselves. Verse 8. The Gadites separate themselves. They were set apart. They were serious. They were swift. They were special. Don't miss it. They separated themselves. Huh? Nobody separated them. They separated themselves. You paying attention to me? I said they separated themselves. That means the soldiers decided, if we're marching with David, we don't want people to think we're marching with somebody else. We got to be wearing the right uniform. We got to be marching in the right cadence. Huh? We got to be standing in the right army. Listen to me, kids. You can't be in Jesus' army on Sunday and marching with the devil's army on Saturday. And you keep waiting for your youth pastor to separate you and your mama to separate you. And your daddy just separate. Listen to me. When you get in your mind and heart that Jesus is king, you'll separate yourself. Amen. You'll separate yourself. Amen. I'm glad when I walked up the altar and met my wife, I met her as a virgin. Huh? Amen. Don't get quiet. She met me as one. Amen. I thought I was a little presumptuous to be asking for something that I wasn't myself. Run and tell that. I'm just simply saying, you want the best, young man. Maybe you ought to be the best. You listening to me? I'm simply saying, if I met the marriage altar as a virgin, then as a 15, 14-year-old, I had to separate myself. There were some people in the school I wasn't hanging with. There were people on the weekends I wasn't running with. There were some little titty bopper girls I wasn't fooling with. Somebody help me preach. Well, you say everybody likes girls. I hope you do, young man. For real, for real. And if you're young and they got cooties, trust me, you'll grow out of it. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I've watched many a young man called to preach walk away from the will of God chasing a girl. Chasing a girl. Chasing worldliness. Chasing fads, chasing a status quo. I've watched them move from the front to the back over rap music and the wrong kind of shows and the wrong kind of activities. Listen to me. If Jesus is your king, Monday to Monday, Sunday to Sunday, 24 hours a day, separate yourself. Be consecrated. Be different. Be set apart. Be sold out. You have one king. I worry about our young people. They're so enamored by the world. These soldiers were set apart. They were serious. They had faces like lions. I think when it comes to the Christian life, our young people aren't serious enough. You put them in front of a video game, They can't hear their mama calling. They can't hear their daddy calling. Isn't it amazing? Yeah. Oh. Amen. Yeah. I got younger sons. I got older sons. You put them in front of the video game. I mean, you know, it's grown men spend hours and hours on them video games. I'm talking about grown men. Yeah. I don't stand grown man 6-7 hours on video game at night. Yeah. I'm not trying to get in your business. I'm just trying to get all up in your business. And I'm trying to, I'm just trying to tell you, you need to go to bed. Especially if you can't stay awake for 2 hours in church, but you can handle 5 hours on a video game. Football game going to overtime, we getting our money's worth. The preacher going to overtime, we looking at our watches. Come on now. Something bad wrong with that. Amen. Ain't nothing like the house of God. I mean, when the preacher gets under the spout where the glory comes out, you say amen, like saying sick him to a hound dog, and that brother rouses back and preaches the word of God. I say that's good stuff.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You got to separate yourself. See, you can draw all kinds of little pictures on a napkin about what kind of family you're going to have. Play MASH and matchmaking and all that. Listen to me, young lady. You can pick out your wedding gown, pick out your bridesmaids, pick out your colors, pick out your church, pick out your honeymoon spot, pick out your shoes, pick out your makeup, pick out your food, pick out your cake, pick out your caterer, pick out your wedding registry. You don't got no groom, but I'm saying pick out everything. But if you don't separate yourself, you'll never end up with that. And fella, you can do the same thing. Well, I'm going to marry me. I'm going to get me a dime piece. I'm going to get me a fine girl. Let me tell you something. You're going to get you a bunch of trouble.
Yeah.
If you don't separate yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know I'm preaching the truth.
Right. Yeah. Yes, sir.
And by the way, adults, separation doesn't end when you get out of adolescence.
Yeah.
Yes, there could be some grown folk in here that you're not into rap, but you're into some of that music you used to listen to.
Yeah.
You get on your kids about all this nonsense they watch, but you still fool around with a little bit of drinking and smoking and don't get quiet on me now. I'm still preaching the Bible. See, real separation is unto God. And the closer you get to God, the further you get from the world. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. What? No, you're not. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which I'm going to ask you, who reached down to the miry clay and saved your soul when there wasn't a rose red enough, there wasn't a lamb white enough, there wasn't a man good enough. God sent forth his son made of a woman made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Scarcely for a righteous man some would die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if he gave his life for us, we ought to give our lives for him.
We're
separated. No question about it. Separated. There's too much worldliness in the church. That's what I said. There's too much worldliness in the church. They ask me, what are you against? I'm against just about everything. I'm not trying to be weird. I don't much like being called weird. I know some weird people I stay away from. Some of my own church members. They love the Lord. They're going to heaven. They're going to win crowns. But I'm telling you, they're weird. They levitate for fun. I stay away from them. What are you doing when they cook you food? I tell them it hit the spot. I just don't tell them that's the name of our trash can. I'm not trying to be weird. But if I have to be called weird in order to not be worldly, I'll take it. I don't want to be a great preacher and a lousy Christian. Amen. Amen. I don't want to be an eloquent pulpiteer and a pornographic addict. I don't want to win them with my charisma from the pulpit and lose my marriage with my lack of integrity out of the pulpit. Are you listening to me? I'm just simply saying you've got to separate yourself. There's a reason why I'm down the road from my wife tonight. She's not worried about what I'm looking at. and what I'm doing while I'm away from her. Because I've chosen to separate myself when I'm with her. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I don't open a magazine if my wife doesn't read it first. I don't watch commercials. I don't fool with social media. I'm losing some of you. I'm not telling you what you have to do. That's between you and God. I'm just telling you these are extreme measures I've taken in order to separate myself.
Yes, sir.
You listening to me? In order to separate myself. 11 hours and 23 minutes a day the average teenager spends on some form of social media. I'm going to say it again. You didn't hear me. 11 hours and 23 minutes a day the average teenager spends on some form of social media. No wonder they have no time to read the Bible. They're too much time on Facebook. I tell our kids, get off of Facebook and get your face in the book.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening to me now? You're going to have to separate yourself. You're not going to find power in those kind of things. You find power in spending time with God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So they were skilled. They were separated. Number three, they were servants. Here comes Amasai, and here comes the children of Benjamin, and David goes out to meet them. They come to David, and David says, if you come peaceably to help me, fine. My heart will be knit with you. But if you come to betray me, seeing there's no wrong in my hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke. In other words, David said, you want to run with me? You better be sincere. I want you to know that these servants were led by the Spirit. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came on them. They were loyal in their support. They said, David, we believe in you. David, we belong in you. And they were loving in their service. I'll tell you what we need from young people is real, authentic, bona fide servants that say, Jesus, we believe in you and we belong to you.
Amen.
We belong to him. He purchased us. Where are the servants? Just watch how fast the line fills up when it's time to eat the pizza. Watch how quick it thins out when it's time to put the tables up. Just watch how many Christians show up when it's a fellowship time and see why we don't get the same crowds when it's soul winning time. Come on. Just watch how many people invite someone to their newly begun pyramid business and watch how few of them invite people to come meet their Savior. I tell you why. We haven't learned how to be servants. We're living in a world that builds us up on image, builds us up on selling yourself. Let me tell you something. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God is not looking for movie stars and celebrities. He's looking for servants.
Yeah.
Number four, this is one of the most important. They were sensible. Look at verse 32. This statement always convicts me. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had what?
Understanding
what? Of the time. Sensible. Here they were marching. And as they were marching with David, guess what was on their mind? You know what? We're living in a day and age where people just came out of a division. Some folks were for Ishbosheth and some folks were for David. If we're going to march in these times, we better be aware of what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I tell our teenagers at Crossroads Baptist Church, you can't live in Smurf world. La 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 la. That means don't have a clue. Don't have a clue how silly you look with your pants falling off your bottom. Don't have a clue how dangerous it is to date a young man that's not saved. Don't have a clue how sickening it is to click on a site that's going to keep you addicted to it years after you're married. And when a kid sits down with me in the middle of that stuff and says, it's no big deal, you know what I think in my mind? La, 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 la. Here's a kid that doesn't have an understanding of the time. By the way, I see a lot of parents don't have an understanding of the time either. I think you ought to go through your children's phone. This is America. This is my house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you better be glad you didn't grow up in my mama's house.
Mom.
You hear me?
Yeah.
My mama would knock your teeth out, but she wouldn't give you no Novocaine. She said, I beat the devil out of you. She said, I kill you and turn myself in. Now, nowadays, these kids threaten, I'm going to call the police. Mom said, here, I'll dial it for you. And we have parents that don't understand the times. They let their kids do things. They don't know how deadly they are. Their kids are involved in things and they don't have a clue. To some of the parents, I want to say, la, 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 la. We have some pastors who don't understand the times. La, 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 la. Listen, you wouldn't have made it in that army. You had to know what was going on. Being a teenager in 2017 and being a teenager in 1987, totally different. We got to know what's going on. They have smartphones now. You understand me? I said smartphones. What does smartphones mean? Smartphones mean that the phones are intelligent. But if you put smartphones in the hands of dumb people, you have issues. And we've got kids that have access to a smorgasbord of sin at their fingertips. I mean, there was a day where if you had to be involved in that stuff, you had to leave house, go to a certain store late at night, and go. But now you just go right on your phone. Parents, we got to understand the times. Teenage, you got to understand the times. Young lady, you want to get married one day, it's God's choice for you. You got to understand the times. That means how you dress, how you carry yourself, what you look at. Do you realize every sitcom has at least one homosexual on it? There was a day when that was weird. Come on. I mean, it was a day when boys liking boys and girls liking girls was weird. Now it's normal. And I'm not picking on anybody because God loves everybody and so do I. But we can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not? I'm just simply saying we can't play with fire and expect not to be burnt. Not these soldiers. They understood the times. So when your parents say, you can't go. And your youth pastor says, we're not having that. And your preacher gets up in the pulpit and says, not up in here. Don't get mad. Just thank God you're not parented, pastored, and led as a youth group by a Smurf. Thank God somebody loves you enough, put his arm around you and said, man, you're going the wrong direction. Come on, man. You're getting on my... No. Thank God you got a friend that's not a Smurf. La, 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 la. You understand me? I'm simply saying we got to understand the times.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Sensible. I'm almost done, I think. They were sincere. No phonies in this army. Look at verse 33. They could keep rank and they were not of a double heart. What do you mean double heart? They weren't hypocrites. They were undefiled by hypocrisy. Listen to me. When Jesus becomes your king, you don't play phony games. And the world laughs at the church sometimes. And lost kids go, I'm not coming to that church. Because I know them kids in there. Oh, they're up in that choir on Sundays, but you should see what they're doing at school. You should see their Facebook page. You should see their tweet. You should see their Snapchat. You should see their Instagram. There's a word for that. It's called hypocrisy. And Jesus had a whole lot worse to say about hypocrites than he ever did about heathens. They were not of a double. In other words, they didn't see David and go, "Woo, woo, David, you're a man." And then leave from David. I can't stand David. David get on my nerves. I hate being in that army with David. You think that happens in the church? You think people come to church and go, oh, I just love Jesus. Everybody will be happy over there. Woo-hoo! And get out of church. Lord God, I'm happy as over. That's hypocrisy. If I sang in the choir at church and listened to wrong music outside of church, I'd get out the choir. Or I'd get rid of that wrong music.
Yes, sir.
You can't live that way.
undefiled by hypocrisy. Notice, upheld by humility. The Bible says they could keep rank. You didn't have a bunch of chiefs in this army. The Bible said they could keep rank. You know what kind of soldiers you had marching there? Ones that didn't mind getting told what to do. You know who is hard to teach? I know it all. Yep, yep. You ever had a young person, you said, man, you don't need to do that. Yes, I do. That's no good for you. No, it's not. That's the wrong comment. Ain't nothing wrong with it. You'll never get anywhere with somebody who cannot be corrected. Listen to me. When Jesus becomes your king, you know what you do? You accept correction. Listen to me. You keep rank. You don't jump out of the line in the army, get in front of the army, and start telling people what to do. You are private. You can't be up there acting like a general. Can you imagine any of you all serving the armed forces here in the building? Can you imagine getting out of line in the armed forces while you were getting ordered by a superior officer, walking up to the front and telling everybody, yo, I just decided, are you kidding me? That's about as far you'd get into the phrase. And yo would be somewhere else. Yo, okay. You know what I'm saying? But we do it in the Christian realm. We don't like to keep rank. They were undefiled by hypocrisy, upheld by humility, and united in heart. One heart we are for David. Notice number six. They were sacrificial. I'm closing. Look at verse 40. Moreover, they that were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali. I want you to notice the next word. Brought. This was a party. Don't miss this. They had a king that was sitting on the throne. And this was a coronation and a celebration. Now watch this. Don't miss it. But these soldiers realize that wherever there's a coronation and a celebration, there should also be contribution. So they didn't show up at the party without bringing something. Look at the passage. They brought bread, they brought raisins, they brought cakes, they brought figs. My favorite, they brought meat. Let the church say amen. It's not a meal if it doesn't have meat. Here's what troubles me. We say that we're crowning Jesus King. Why don't we bring anything? I'm asking you, teenager, he's king in your life? What have you brought him lately? They brought some. Hey, David, we're celebrating you being king. We went in our houses, in our cupboards, in our refrigerators, in the drawers in our house, and we said, we can't go to the party to crown David king without bringing some. I'm asking you, the last time you came to church, did you bring anything? Feed me, pastor. Sing to me, choir. Where's my pew? Where's my seat? I sacrificed my sleep and got up here and came to church. It's a Friday night. You know what teenagers can do on a Friday night? I came up in here, sat down, took 2 hours, 3 hours away from my girlfriend, my boyfriend to come to church. Y'all better be glad I'm here. Wait a minute. You better be glad God's here. Amen. What did you bring? This was a celebration. We didn't come here to celebrate us. We came here to celebrate him. Did you bring anything? Well, you say, I don't have much. I'm just asking you, did you bring your heart tonight? Yeah. If Jesus is king, when you come up here to the altar, do you look in the inventory of your life before you go to meet God and go, what do I have in my refrigerator? What do I have in my cup? What do I have in these drawers? Lord, you're too good of a king
for me to come to your party with nothing.
Yeah.
They were sacrificial. And lastly, they were satisfied. There was joy in Israel. You want to find a miserable person? Show me a Christian who's divided as to who his king is. Confused. Show me a teenager who sits in church half worldly and half godly. And I'll show you someone who's got less joy than a lost man, because he's tasted how good God is and he's only given him half. Isn't it amazing? It never said anything about joy in Israel when they were split. When Judah to the south and Israel to the north came together and united for one king, the Bible gives this description. There's joy in Israel.
Yes, sir.
What would your youth group be like if every teenager crowned Jesus king? What would your church, what would your home be like if the mama, the daddy, the sons, the daughters, the dog? No, maybe not the dog. If everybody crowned. You ever been in a song service where you could tell everybody had crowned him? The roof about to come off, wasn't it? You ever been in a service where you could tell there was division? Some for Jesus and some for the devil. So let's take role in the building tonight, in the invitation. You identify yourself. Look in your heart. See, we're not asking you, have you crowned him king in heaven? He's going to be that whether you crown him or not.
Amen.
I'm talking about right here. Where it counts. See, that's a decision. To crown him king in your heart. If you do, I guarantee you, you'll be skilled, separated, servant, sensible, sincere, sacrificial, and satisfied.
Amen.
Our Father,